The journey to a COVID-19 vaccine began decades ago with research on earlier coronaviruses. Scientists built on that with months more of research and development, worldwide cooperation, and clinical trials on tens of thousands of diverse volunteers. Finally, they arrived at a safe, effective vaccine. The next step on the journey is yours. Discover the facts at michigan.gov/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
For this week's episode of the Fast Break Podcast Series, episode number 41, presented by Grand Rapids Community College, West Michigan's best choice, I wanted to focus on signing day 2021 for football and how our local high school football players in West Michigan ended up when it comes to translating to three GLIAC conference programs that are so strong in Grand Valley State, Ferris State, and Davenport University. And together, they produce a brand of Division II football that is second to none in the country. Therefore, this week, I had a chance to sit down with all three head coaches of those respective programs, Matt Mitchell at Grand Valley State, Tony Anise at Ferris State, and Sparky McEwen at Davenport University, to talk about the new talent they have coming in. Well, let's start with the Lakers of Grand Valley State University as we go around West Michigan with all of our local college teams, and their head coach, Matt Mitchell, joins us right now. It was a different year, to say the least. I mean, you guys didn't even get to play, I know, Coach, but it was also a different year recruiting-wise as far as figuring out numbers and scholarships, and you guys had a very big class with 43 total players. But talk about the differences from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think first thing is, you know, the NCAA came out with a ruling that all of my seniors could come back and not be count against my scholarship. So that was huge news for us. That did not limit opportunities for the class of 21. We were able to manipulate some stuff with our scholarship numbers. And we're going to have some players next year that will be on scholarship but not count against us. That hopefully that makes sense. So we started with that premise, and then we went out. And, again, I think we had a window of opportunity because Division I schools were in a dead period for the entirety of pretty much the entire year now, and there was no summer camps. And we had the availability to not only evaluate tape, but we were allowed to have a few guys on campus in the month of August, you know, socially distanced one at a time, but we were able to spend some time with those guys where they couldn't go do that on Division I campus. So our evaluation and also their evaluation of us was in a much better position. At the end of the day, some guys turned down some opportunities because they had more familiarity with our program. And I'm happy about the class, like every coach is going to be, but this was a really unique year. You know, we signed a lot of kids from a lot of different states, and it was a lot of different operations in those states. You know, Michigan, as you're familiar with, was on again, off again. There was a lot of different things happening. Illinois didn't play football, so I thought we did a good job of managing a lot of different geographical differences when it comes to recruits and their timeline.
Yeah, and your backyard was still big. Michigan with 24 leading the way, but Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, Texas, Florida, all in the mix. Also, you balanced it out, 21 offensive players, 20 defensive players, a couple of specialists in there as well to make it a class of 43. And I guess my first question to you is, was there a position or two that stood out, offense or defense, as far as where you guys really felt you'd grade yourself as an A with the talent you got coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I always really try to put a premium, and every position before, but I put a premium on offensive line and defensive line. I mean, we're, you know, 12 miles from Lake Michigan, and we got a lot of snow right now. And so, you know, you got to win the games up front. And so we real feel, I would say, if you don't put a real high mark on a class, I'd say defensive line. I thought we did another great job of finding both ends and interior guys. But in general, Brett, like, finding big-bodied good players is difficult. It's harder to find O-line, D-line than it is sometimes skill guys. And so we find those guys. We are very aggressive and put money on them, and we try to get them signed. And so I think both sides of the line of scrimmage were strong for us this year.
Some guys that jumped out locally I got a chance to cover here in West Michigan, Matt. One is, speaking of big bodies, 6'3", 291, an offensive lineman, an all-stater out of Montague for Pat Collins. Fantastic program. They win a state championship. But talk about Walker Martin, because he is a guy that you notice when Montague takes the field.
Yeah, super excited. Obviously, we had multiple guys that were playing the playoffs and a couple state champions here from West Michigan. But Walker, I really think that, you know, we benefited from potentially not a camp circuit. You know, we're talking about Montague High School, who's very, very successful, but a little bit of a smaller school. And I don't know that one that, you know, maybe all the big boys stop in all the time, but Walker, a really, really good athlete for his size, you know, also comes from a championship-level program and the expectations that they do have there. I think he understands what you got to do and the work ethic. Just an awesome kid. Love being around him. And, you know, big upside. And to find that type of guy in your backyard is always a benefit.
Two guys that I love, and more with the passing games, you know, the development of the high school game, let alone your game and how it all trickles down from the NFL, is watching teams and programs that have outstanding secondary play and defensive backs. Because, as you know, just like the winning up front, you've got to stop the other team from passing, and you have a guy that can make plays defensively for you in that secondary that's so huge, and you've had some good ones through the years at GVSU. But two guys I want you to talk about, Tyrese Oaks from Muskegon. I mean, this guy, 10 interceptions in his career. He was all over the field when I watched the Big Reds. And then another one, I call him a legacy recruit with the utmost respect because I know his dad, and boy, is he a hitter just like he was. Luke McLean out of Rockford.
So fired up about both these guys. I mean, if you want to talk about programs here in West Michigan that are kind of premier programs at the higher levels, you know, you have both Muskegon and Rockford. So, you know, Tyrese's recruiting timeline was a very interesting one. Had some FBS interest and some things happening, and then I think because of the circumstances around, a lot more FBS schools are not filling up their scholarships with high school kids, but are going more to transfers. You know, I some things fell away for him, and we were very persistent, stayed in touch with him. You know, his father passed away, but awesome mom. She's great. When she came on campus, you know, really felt like a connection point that she wanted her son to go a place that was going to really value a lot of things beyond just the football field. And Tyrese got a lot of personality, just a really awesome kid. I see an upside for him, too. I think he can continue to grow and develop on our back end. And, you know, it's been a while that, since we've had a guy from the Big Reds program. We're excited to have him in this class.
And Luke McLean, talk about
Luke,
him.
Luke, my fault, yeah. Yeah. No, Luke, obviously, I'm not going to skip over Luke. As you mentioned there in the intro, you know, we have so many connections with Rockford High School. Jamie Hotsford and the two twin sons played here. Dan and Tom are still really involved in our Football Alumni Association. The current offensive coordinator at Rockford, Kyle Short, I recruited him from Rockford, and he played for me. You know, Tyler, but I just go through them all, and then the McLeans. You know, Dan McLean was played here at Grand Valley State. The oldest of the brothers, Jake, is a currently receiver in our program, then Luke. Very excited for Luke. I mean, he's a really great athlete, but I think a better football player in terms of his feel for the game. And, you know, primarily they used him on defense, but I think you saw as they started to make that run a little bit there in the playoffs, they started using both ways. And we were really excited to see some of his offensive clips. Had a really nice touchdown catch at home there in the playoffs against Saline. And, you know, so we're gonna start him out. I think he played a lot of different positions in the secondary, but I was pretty excited to see him get some offensive snaps, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's just a weapon. You got to have him on the field. Two other guys I want you to comment on from the area real quick. One I got to see, one I didn't, but I've heard a lot about him. I know he's a fantastic player and right up the alley of what you want as far as making plays. But first, Grant Lancaster, Forest Hills Eastern. What a run for them under Joe Swander. Big kid, really athletic, can go get it for you at wide receiver. And then another guy who just is a football player, Jimmy Downs out of Schoolcraft, Kalamazoo Area Dream Team. This kid just makes plays.
Yeah, Grant Lancaster, you know, right here in our backyard. As you mentioned, I think the exciting thing about him, he's got great ball skills.
Yep.
I feel like we could physically develop him. You know, he's got a really, really good frame, and we do have a lot of connections with that program. And also, you know, he really, really wanted to come to Grand Valley. I think he was really believed in our education and the things we brought to the table. That was awesome. You know, Jimmy Downs, Schoolcraft. Really excited to have him in our program. I mean, the recruitment, we had their quarterback committed, then we kind of lost him a little bit later to a Division I program down in Texas. And it was, you know, towards the end there, it was a little interesting with Jimmy, too, because I think some schools started to see his tape and his run. And I just tell you, like, you know, we've said he's a football player, and you saw it. Running back, receiver, safety, linebacker, return game, you know, just did everything, you know, absolutely everything. And then one of the one I got to mention, too, here is from Grand Rapids Catholic Central is Brock Henderson.
Absolutely.
I played left tackle for him. And, you know, Todd Colster, who used to be on staff with me here at Grand Valley State, has really got that program rolling and just won a state championship. scholarships. And that was a kid that actually transferred in from out of state. His mom got a job here in the Grand Rapids area, and they chose to go to Grand Rapids Catholic Central. And I think he continued to grow and develop, too. And I think he's an offensive tackle. He's got a lot of upside. So definitely some West Michigan kids that made a lot of playoff runs, as you just talked about, and refreshed my memory. We had all those guys were in the playoffs, and that's pretty cool.
Hey, that's pretty good memory when you have 43 kids you're trying to keep track of. I mean, that's not a typical year, as you know. Matt, as we wrap things up, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, and you did, and he was a family friend of ours, too, in the Rockford Public School System. But Jamie Hosford, opening up the football center, I know you guys did your signing day stuff from there. Awesome facility. I know a lot of people haven't had a chance to see it except for renderings or maybe online. Talk about that and what that means for your program.
Well, I think you saw it in the quality of recruits we signed. And when you take a look at, you know, in the GLIAC, you saw a lot of top prospects were from the state of Michigan. And that's, I think, facilities do matter. I think facilities show prospects that, you know, we want to operate at a championship level. We have championship level expectations. But, you know, that building's been phenomenal. I think the only thing that's kind of been disheartening for me is spent a lot of years in regards to the fundraising and the planning and everything that went into it. And it haven't had as many people in it as we possibly could because of COVID-19, but that's okay. At some point, things will open up and we'll have people back in. And no bigger tribute to Grand Valley football than what Jamie Hosford meant. As the most letters of any Grand Valley athlete, it was a multi-sport athlete, you know, from Creston High School here in Grand Rapids, and then very much involved in the Grand Rapids community with a lot of different initiatives and Rockford schools. And his sons are playing and played for Brian Kelly. And then now they're involved, as I mentioned too. And so just an unbelievable family. And it's awesome for me because I have been in Grand Valley for 17 years and how much Jamie meant before he passed away. To come down that drive every day and see his name on the building, I think is very fitting. And very excited about it and just want to try to get more people in to see that. We've got an awesome jersey, a game-worn jersey of Jamie's, number 32. That's still dirty from a game. That's the first thing you see when you walk in the door, and I think that it's very, you know, it's awesome just to have his presence and his memory, his legacy reflected in that entire facility.
He'd be proud of that dirty jersey. You know that, too. Head coach Matt Mitchell joined us. Matt, thank you so much. Congrats on a great class, and we can't wait to get back on the field there.
Awesome. Appreciate the time.
Next stop, let's go to Big Rapids. The Bulldogs of Ferris State and head coach Tony Anise joining us right now in our recruiting wrap of the West Michigan area. And Tony, one of the things that struck me about your class for 2021 in your presentation on signing day that I watched online, maybe your best class that you've had since you've been at Big Rapids. That's quite a statement.
It is quite a statement. And, you know, 24/7 did an analysis on rankings and ranked us number one in the nation in D2 and ranked us ahead of a lot of FBS, FCS schools. So, you know, it's never an exact science and who knows how it's going to turn out. But, you know, with COVID and, you know, the uncertainties going out through recruiting and things of that sort, the biggest concern I had was, you know, are people going to close the gap on us? And I'm still lecturing my team every day. You know, people are out there closing the gap and we didn't play in 19. They have you know, they see this as their opportunity to get the dogs, you know. And so I'm trying to keep us on point to stay focused and determined to you know, be at our best. And so that recruiting class obviously gives us some enthusiasm, excitement moving forward and having a great offseason.
You always have been known to recruit athletes. So what I mean by that is they might play one position in high school, but you see them somewhere else in a very athletic team for the Bulldogs. And one of the stats that stood out to me, 8 guys in this field that played quarterback at the high school level. Now, they're all not going to play quarterback for you, but you know what you're getting with that position, and it's a position that you played back in the day.
Yeah, it's leadership. It's, you know, just accountability and I said this somewhere, you know, when high school coaches are deciding who their quarterback's going to be in junior high, they pick the best athlete. You know, Brady Rose is the best athlete in his grade. He's going to be our quarterback. Or Trinidad Chambliss is the best athlete in his grade. He's going to be our quarterback. Or Carson Gulker is the best athlete in his grade. He's going to be the quarterback. And so for the same for the out-of-staters and so, yeah, it was one of those situations. You know, Cam Moore, best athlete in their class at New Lothrop, he's going to be our quarterback. So one of those situations where you evaluate not so much by, you know, what they did in high school, but what they can do in college. And, you know, one of our linebackers right now, a 6-year guy, I recruited as a quarterback. And so the more we can get one of our best receivers, I recruited him as a quarterback. So the more you can get great athletes on the field, and the other part is basketball. You know, Chambliss and Gulker's great basketball players. Truthfully, I recruited Xavier Wade, or one of our best receivers, and Cy Barnett, our other best receiver. Both those guys, I recruited them primarily because I loved how they play basketball. And they were, you know, they're two best players, basketball players on their respective teams. And it's turned out really well for us at receiver. Those guys are just, you know, they're gamers. They're great players.
Class of 28 guys, 19 from the state of Michigan, 8 from Florida, 1 from Georgia. Let's talk about the West Michigan flavor. You've named some of them. Trinidad Chambliss, quarterback out of Forest Hills Northern. Carson Gulker, quarterback out of Zeeland West. Then you have guys like Amari Crowley, who played quarterback at Muskegon. You probably see him more as an athlete. Makai Matthews, I really love. Boy, nice get there out of Wyoming. 6'4", 215, wide receiver. I know he had some D1 looks. And then, obviously, MLive Player of the Year, Brady Rose. You know all about him with Matt Koziak being under you as his head coach, but this kid, just amazing. He's 5'8", 175. That might be generous, as you know, but he's just a playmaker, and his football IQ is off the charts.
Yeah, playmaker and IQ and grit. It's unbelievable. Like, I was on the radio the other day just saying, I don't think I've ever seen a grittier player in all of my history of being around football. Just extraordinary grit, determination to be the best. And
The journey to a COVID-19 vaccine began decades ago with research on earlier coronaviruses. Scientists built on that with months more of research and development, worldwide cooperation, and clinical trials on tens of thousands of diverse volunteers. Finally, they arrived at a safe, effective vaccine. The next step on the journey is yours. Discover the facts at michigan.gov/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
Every week, you know, following them in the playoffs, every week, you know, they had close games with Forest Hill Central,
yep,
and Caledonia, and then they had close game, and then they had the break, and then really close game with East Lansing, an extraordinarily close game with Traverse City Central that they broke open in the second half, and then obviously the De La Salle game. Every game, it was Brady Rose playing hero. Unbelievable, playing hero. And it's hard to play hero in football, you know. At the end of the they were playing against De La Salle, you know, and obviously Roan and I are close too. But Roan's like, man, you want Mona Shores to win because, you know, Koziak's your boy and Brady Rose. And I said, yeah, I love those guys. But I was nervous on the end because, you know, he'd never really lost a game that he'd started, and then that game got so tight. But he just grinded it out. You know, even just by blocking the extra point in the state championship game, those are plays that you look for. You know, for people to make those kind of plays and at the collegiate level. So I said this the other day to one of my former assistants. I said, I don't care if he's just our holder. I mean, he'll be a great holder, you know. And he says, yeah, he'll be a great everything, you know. So it's a no miss, you know. Even, you know, he'll be an extraordinarily great special teams player, and wherever he plays, he's going to be, you know, extraordinary. And so, you know, all those guys are athletes. Even, you know, Jake Plamondon from Ludington, he's an athlete. You know, Mitch Middleton is from Middleville. He's a kicker, but he was also a fullback. And I love guys that, you know, played the game, not just kicking the game. And so. So, it's a great group of West Michigan guys, and I know I'm talking too much about them, but it's extraordinary how athletic and successful these guys are.
Talking about the class of 2021 for the Bulldogs of Ferris State with their head coach, Tony Anise. Tony, final question I have for you is, and this has been true since you've been there, talk about your connection with the state of Florida. Because, again, 8 recruits from Florida in this class, but you have a roster full of them, and that's connections going back for you.
Yeah, it is. First off, I think we're going to get a couple more, and they just didn't sign with us on Wednesday, but we're going to get a couple more that are really good as well. It stems from being at GRCC, truthfully. So when I was at GRCC, we went to Florida and recruited a lot, and we just got great players. And one, I love how committed they are to football, because they're playing the year-round. You know, very rarely do I find a Floridian who's like obsessed with basketball like we are in Michigan, and they're football players, but you know, they're playing in you know, they're doing 7-on-7s in January and February and March, and they also run track, so we get a lot of speed guys. You know, you can look at Chris Phillips as a running back, watch his film, and you're going to say, I mean, why is he a D2 guy, you know?
Right.
He's a 10-8 meter guy, 10-8 100 meter guy. It's like, you know, the speed and athleticism, it's awesome. But what's even better, and this is, I think, why people get nervous about it, they come and they integrate in our program very quickly, and you couldn't pick them out, you know. You wouldn't say, oh, well, that one's a Florida kid, oh, that one's a Michigan kid. And they become just best friends with our kids. And so that's the biggest issue, if they can integrate and feel, you know, like this is home for them, which that's what they've done, you know, then that's great. So we're proud of them. We think that there's a great group of young men that come to Florida and are basically, you know, passionate about being great at the game of football.
Tony, congrats on a great class again, and we're all hoping for sooner than later you guys can get back out on the playing field.
Yeah, it's going to happen now. I mean, we're right at the end here of this, and we're excited. My guys sometimes question, hey, are we going to play? Dang right we're playing. You know, it's going to be, once we get past this, it's going to be a great 2021.
Our next stop, we go south, Kentwood, Caledonia area, Davenport University, the Panthers. And this guy, I go way back with, head coach Sparky McHugh, another local guy trying to rise up this program. 2021 signing day class. Sparky, good to catch up with you. And it was a crazy one, wasn't it, with the pandemic?
Oh, it's still crazy. And, you know, we're turning the corner, Brett. But, you know, our boys have really accepted this challenge. And my hat goes off to my staff and my players. I told them it's something that in this lifetime, I never thought I was going to see this. But we all have a story to tell. But we got to maintain our discipline and follow the protocols. But, man, it was truly different from recruiting and to just working with your own kids.
Sparky, you had 6-5 in 2018, 5-5 in 2019. This would have been your fourth season if you guys would have played in 2020. And that is a pivotal year, you know, as a head coach. I mean, you've been around this barn a few times because you start to get your kids. You start to have a few recruiting classes that you and your staff have put together. So how big is this recruiting class for you of 19 high school signees?
You know, it's pretty big, and believe it or not, you know, Brett, I don't know if you're aware, but this will always go down as the three freshmen recruiting class.
Right.
Okay, because you had the very first class that you had right before the pandemic, and then the signing class, you know, during the pandemic, and then you're going to get the next class. So you're going to have a three freshman class. And that alone says a lot in itself, you know, especially for a program like mine where we're looking to build depth. That's the biggest thing when competing, you know, in the GLIAC. You got to have depth when you're going against the big boys because it's considered the SEC of Division II football. So, you know, we got the three freshman class. And right now we didn't play in the fall. Plans are to have a reduced schedule of some sort, depending on where Michigan comes down with testing and things like that. And so hopefully in the near future here, we're going to be announcing a few games that we're going to play. But it's been tough all the way around. But, you know, hats goes off. We actually were able to put together a pretty decent class.
Let's talk about some of the kids I've gotten a chance to cover in their high school careers right here in your backyard in West Michigan. Two to start with, Cal Doyle. I got a chance to watch him. Big quarterback out of Forest Hills Eastern. Good size, good arm, 6'3", 220. Obviously led them to the playoffs. They fell short in the regional finals. I did that game, but very impressed with them up against Cadillac, who went on to the state finals. And then another guy, Cam Terry. He just seems like he's been running for the Bulldogs of Granville for a long time. And there's a little bit of a family lineage there with the Terry family. Family, right?
Absolutely, Terry. First, I'll tell you about Doyle. Doyle, you know, we have his brother on our team, you know, that we recruited, you know, a few years back. And, you know, we've been watching, you know, Cal play, and he's an athlete. One of the things we wanted to do, Brett, with this class, we wanted to make sure that when we project our guys that we have the body types, number one, that can play in this conference, number two, that these kids are going to continue to grow. And when we get them into our player developmental program, these are kids that we see 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, that's going to jump in and they're going to become, you know, players for us. You know, so we do a really good job here of, you know, body typing guys and projecting them into the future in hopes that they're going to step into a role and maybe eventually, you know, start, you know, for us 2 or 3 years. Now, the next kid, you know, but with Doyle, our hopes with Doyle is that he can potentially, you know, step in a role possibly, you know, as a tight end, see how he competes the first year as a quarterback. This is a kid that may also be able to play a little linebacker. And if that's the case, we've done our job of projecting this guy. We look at his toughness, and we feel like he can compete in this conference. The next kid, Cam Terry, man, this one here was, I feel like it was a steal for us. I felt like I had to end with the family, so I didn't care who came in on this kid. I was going to hold his dad and his family, you know, to the fact that I coached him. You know, if I were going to have to be there, Brett, crying, you know, to get this kid to come to my school, I would have did whatever it was going to take. Because I knew his dad, man, and you remember, his dad was a horse.
Yep.
You know, and when you watch this young kid develop, I watched Cam develop, and his dad put him through it. He's a well-coached kid over at Granville. They did a great job of coaching him up. And one of the things that I do know, that sometimes it's a struggle from what I hear guys are saying to evaluate guys in the wing tee. And I said, when you hear coaches say it's a struggle to evaluate guys in the wing tee, I said, I'll show you a guy that can't evaluate. You know, hey, this guy can play. Look at the yards he's put up. Okay, you know, when you go in, you look and you see his numbers as far as in the weight room. Okay, when you, and it says leadership, it's touchdowns, it's productivity. I said, this is a guy that I gotta have in our scheme. And then last but not least, you know, his pedigree. You know, I know how hardworking the dad was, and I watched the kid, you know, through his high school career. So I felt like he's a kid that's going to fit well, you know, into our scheme.
You know, one of the things that jumped out to me, I know you love athletes, and you also, like you said, body type and size. You saw it in the Super Bowl this past weekend, and the fact that defensive backs are such a priority with passing teams, and GLIAC is a passing league. As you know, everything trickles down from the NFL. Your size and athleticism at the defensive back position, a Lorenzo Ward out of Grand Blanc who goes 6'2", a Daryl Cooper out of E-Course who goes 6'1", a Devarius Mitchell who's just an athlete. You could play him all over the field, but I mean, these are big guys that can fly. How important is that in the GLIAC right now?
Super important. When you talk about, you know, the teams in the conference, you know, man, just if you just travel there to the west 25 minutes and you go up north, you know, another 45 minutes, those two teams alone, they're going to line up with big guys on the perimeter. I'm just telling you, Brett, and if you don't combat that with size of your own, you're going to be in for a long night, okay? Grand Valley will test you time after time if you trot out guys that are smaller DBs. So, you know, AJ, which, you know, he happens to be my son, he's the DC here, and, you know, he was an All-American at Ferris as a DB. You know, so he knows what he wants. He knows exactly what he wants back there. And I thought we did a heck of a job being able to go and get a couple guys. I don't want to say they went under the radar. I really don't, because these kids got offers from other schools. But he did just a heck of a job of recruiting them and staying on top of these guys. And now all of a sudden you look up and these guys, man, 6'2", 6'1", at, you know, the age of 17, and they're only going to get bigger. They're only going to get bigger once you get them into our player development mode.
Davenport University head coach Sparky Bakunitis joining us on their signing day recap for 2021. Their class of 19 recruits from three different states, Michigan, Ohio. And I want to talk about Florida and talk about your background with the Arena Football League and contacts. And obviously you were assistant at Ferris under Tony Anise, so you know all about the recruiting game. Connections are so important for head coaches. The Sunshine State has been good for you, hasn't it?
Huge. Huge. You know, I talked to a number of individuals, and the first thing, you know, Brett, we take care of our backyard, but we know when right in your backyard, you got the Lakers and you got the Bulldogs, and both Matt and Tony are, man, they're known to be Bulldogs on the trail. And Tony, man, I'm telling you, he's really tough to go against on the recruiting trail. So we know that we're going to take care of our backyard, but we also are going to have to travel to get players. And I'm just going to tell you, Brett, my days, 13 years in the AFL, man, it was so good to me that I built all those relationships out there, whether it be with coaches, whether it be with players. And in Florida, you look up, I got a guy, Caron Williams. He's 6'5", 225 pounds, defensive end. He's a 3.9. When you run his clips on Huddle, you're going to be like, how does this guy not go into one of the Power 5 schools? You know, but they're so – I'm serious. You watch this guy, you're like, how is he coming to Davenport? And then you look up, we got a Khalil Hunter. He's 6'3", 310. He's muscle. We had him here, and everyone's looking around and saying, who is that grown man? I said, no, he's 17. You know, so here's a kid that I watched him at Doak Campbell Stadium in a championship game. But, you know, you look up, you know, Brett, and I'm there as a coach, and I'm talking to him. You know, that goes a long way, you know, with these kids. And so, you know, I impressed upon our coaches that, guys, if we're going to compete against GV, you know, Saginaw Valley, Wayne State, Ferris State for championship, you're going to have to recruit nationally. And I just tell you, man, Florida's been really good to us, and California and Texas, Oklahoma. So we let guys know that we recruit nationally, and we're excited about that. And the kids that we bring in here, they're top-notch, man. These guys are kids that, you know, for whatever reason, Florida, as you know, Brett, there's so many kids down there. It's so many kids down there. So we're able to go and steal a few of them to bring them up here in the Sunshine State of Michigan.
It's our version of the Bermuda Triangle. It's the GLIAC football triangle. Davenport, Ferris State, Grand Valley State. Hey, congrats on a great class. Good to always catch up. And we all are just waiting for the day we get back to watch a little Panthers football, a little GLIAC, and just football in general, Spark. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, man. It's coming soon. We'll talk to you. Go Panthers.
As always, I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Fast Break podcast series, and I'm always looking for feedback from you, our great listeners, about the podcast or possible future guests that you'd like me to feature in an upcoming episode. Please email me at brettpaquita@iheartmedia.com. Remember, that's just one T on Brett. We'll talk to you next week with another episode coming out on Friday. The Fast Break podcast series is being brought to you by Grand Rapids Community College.
Fit college into your busy life with weekend, evening, and 7-week classes at GRCC. You can visit grcc.edu/apply today. This is GRCC President Bill Pink, and I can't wait to see you at Grand Rapids Community College this fall. Again, visit grcc.edu/apply today. You'll be able to learn why GRCC is West Michigan's best choice.
The journey to a COVID-19 vaccine began decades ago with research on earlier coronaviruses. Scientists built on that with months more of research and development, worldwide cooperation, and clinical trials on tens of thousands of diverse volunteers. Finally, they arrived at a safe, effective vaccine. The next step on the journey is yours. Discover the facts at michigan.gov/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.